Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour. Glory to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Okay. Sacrament of Confirmation. Picture you can see the over the head of the big man is a bird. That bird is the dove, and the dove symbolizes the Holy Spirit. The man is confirming. His name is the bishop. He has on his head, it's called a mitre, the big hat. The big stick is called a crozier. And he is anointing those two children. They're making their confirmation. Behind them are the sponsors. We Spanish call them padrinos, right? Okay. Sacrament of Confirmation is very relevant to most high school students, as many of them have either just received or soon will be receiving it. Confirmation comes at a unique time in the lives of the students. Takes place generally at the time when the presence of teen society hits. Unfortunately, some of the students will only be confirmed because their parents require them to. They won't be able to experience the sacrament as a celebration on the level that they should. Many confirmation programs require service hours as a required component. For many, service hours mean just being nice. Very often the idea of serving others as a means to conversion gets lost along the way. Those who are in programs that demand service hours need to be told that they are doing this to model the love of Jesus to others. We need to see his love demonstrated by believing Christians. Next to the word Christian, I'd like you to write in parentheses, next to Christians, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 has three parables. The parables of the wise and foolish virgins, then you get the parable of the talents, and you get the parable of what is called the universal judgment, where Jesus gives an analogy of the separating of the sheep and the goats. He says this, I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was a foreigner and you welcomed me. I was sick and in prison and you came to visit me. And they'll say to the Lord, well, Lord, when did I see you hungry, thirsty, naked, foreigner, sick, or in prison? And he'll respond, whenever you did it to least of my brothers, you did it to me. And he'll say, welcome into the home of my Father, heaven. Those will be on his right. Then on his left he'll say, out of my presence into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Because I was hungry, you didn't give me to eat. I was thirsty, you didn't give me to drink. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was a foreigner, and you didn't welcome me. I was in prison, and I was sick, and you never came to visit me. And they'll say to the Lord, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty and naked and a foreigner, sick and in prison, and not serve you? Jesus will say, whenever you fail to do it to the least of my brothers, you failed to do it to me. Those are called the corporal works of mercy. We're going to be judged on those when we die. When you go into the church, like I'm celebrating the Mass, you ever look up on the wall, you see these seven circles. They're called stained glass windows. You can see every one of those corporal works of mercy on the right. Over the choir, you're going to see the seven spiritual works of mercy. So part of preparing for confirmation is preparing ourselves to be of service to others in the world. Mother Teresa said this, aquel que no vive para servir, no sirve para vivir. I don't know if you guys understand Spanish. No? Aquel que no vive para servir, no sirve para vivir. It's a good one-liner. Anyone translate that? Aquel que no vive para servir, no sirve para vivir. Can you translate? It's a good one.
If you don't know how to live.
Sir, you don't know how to serve. And it's not even worth living, she's basically saying. Right? That's what she's saying. She's saying if we really want to live out our life, we have to learn how to serve others. Let me tell you something that eventually maybe you'll do before you're confirmed. It's difficult because it goes against our selfishness. Maybe you'll do it one day. Maybe dedicate your life to it. Okay, it's a nursing home, or maybe just a residential house, in which there's a 90-year-old man, it could be a woman, who's got Alzheimer's. You know what Alzheimer's means? Yeah, the memory is basically kind of unstable. Parkinson's, where you've got neurological problems with controlling your movements, no? Like a shaking hand. So you go into that nursing home, you sit down next to, you know, an older person, maybe an old lady that's got Parkinson's and has, as well as Alzheimer's. And not very attractive. Maybe the room smells of urine. You know, sometimes you have that nursing home, bad smell. You sit down next to her for a half hour and she repeats the same story every 2.5 minutes. There you are, 25 minutes, you've already heard the story 13 times. And every time you hear the story, you smile at her and say, Abuelita, that's a great story. That's true love. You don't get anything out of that. When you die, Jesus is going to appear to you like that old lady. Mark my words. You die, you're going to go before Jesus, and all of a sudden he's going to be transformed into that old lady in that room. You sat next to him, her rather, and you were there listening very kindly. Understand that? It's a tough story, but you guys know, you know it's real. And some of you probably have grandparents that are maybe in that situation, or maybe some of you are pretty young, maybe some of you even have a great-grandparent that is old and sick and ailing. So service hours is not simply, as the text says, just to carry out a rule, but really to show that we care for Christ and others, especially those who are struggling more than us. Service hours. Huh? And never forget the golden rule. Any of you know what the golden rule is? We all understand it once I tell you. Any of you know what the golden rule is? To treat others or do to others what you want them to do to you. You want to be treated with respect. Treat others with respect. You want to be treated kindly. Treat others kindly. You want to be treated with mercy and compassion. Do the same. We all understand that. Whether or not you believe, you're a believer or not, we understand it's called the golden rule. The golden rule. The golden rule. Now that first paragraph was kind of strong. I don't know if you guys felt uncomfortable with that. Maybe you were zoning out. You weren't even paying attention to it. But in about a year from today, a year, maybe a year and a month, most of you could be confirmed if you want to. Now, are you going to be confirmed because you're forced to it, or because you want to, on your own free volition, want to be confirmed? I think I should ask that question because we're heading toward the end of this year. We don't have too many classes left before we call it quits for this year until next September. You want to be confirmed, or you're just forced by your abuelita? What do you think? Good, good. Okay, you're honest. It's good. How about you?
I want to be
good. That's good. Do you think that it's right after you're confirmed and then you get your confirmation certificate, you put it on the wall and then that's it with Catholicism? I did my part. And I once went to a restaurant with the other priest, and the waitress, there were four priests, and said, "You guys priests? Yeah." They said, "Are you Catholic?" She said, "Yeah." She may be 32, 33 years old. They said, "Were you confirmed?" "Yeah." "You go to Mass?" They say, "The last time I went to Mass was when I was confirmed." Sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
So she was confirmed, and that was the end of her practice of her faith. This should be the exact opposite. Once you should confirm, you should want to even go deeper in your faith and try to bring others to the Catholic faith. So it's not simply a certificate, but it's a style of life. Estilo de vida. Style of life. I was telling you, some of your mothers in the other room a couple minutes ago, that sometimes women have a double standard the way they dress. They come in church and they dress más o menos. They go outside and they dress very poorly. Is that right? I said that we're Catholics 24/7. You know what that means? Rather, it should be, we're Catholics 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, and 366 days a year.
Right.
Hear that, Robert? That's called hyperbole. Hyperbole means a literary emphasis on something where there's an exaggeration to hammer home the point. So we shouldn't have a sort of doble cara, your double face, huh? Or your $3 bill. Huh? You ever go to the store with a $3 bill? It's called your fake. Huh? No such thing as a $3 bill, is there, no? And St. Paul says that we're ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador? Embajador. What that is? Yes. Well said. Usually will represent like a country, right? Does an ambassador have to be well-groomed, well-polished, well-mannered, do you think? Yeah. Otherwise, it's a bad reflection on the country, right? So, for example, you're an ambassador maybe to Italy. You go and you know your hair is disheveled, your shoes, your shoes are untied. Okay, your shirt is untucked. No, you got bad breath. I mean, all those things—they're important, right? So you have to. But we're representing Christ, the King of Kings, right, Tomas? Well, that's even more important. Renee, do you want to go to heaven?
Yes.
I want you to go too.
That's right.
Good. And that's why we're here. And the primary purpose is we're here is we want to prepare ourselves to go to heaven. That's why we're here. And life is short, right? Life is short. We don't know when God's going to call us. It could be in 50 years. It could be in 50 minutes. We don't know. We've got to be prepared. How would you like to die? I know you're going to say, in your sleep, right? You're about to say that, huh? Am I my mind reader? Would you like to die in your sleep, Angel?
Angel.
What do you think?
My sleep?
How would you like to die?
Sleep.
Okay. What happened if you died in your sleep but you were in mortal sin?
I wouldn't want to die like that.
So you want to make sure that you die in God's grace, right? Once you ask the question, what would you like your last meal to be? What would you like your last meal to be? In and out. Okay, well, I like it. Tomas, what about you? Your last meal.
I don't
know. Not sure.
I got you.
My last meal, I liked it. My last meal to be Holy Communion. Amen.
Amen.
What do you think about that? Would that be good?
Yeah.
To receive Holy Communion, the Body and Blood of Christ. We're going to be talking about that later on. Okay, so let's go to the text. Many Catholic students have had very little personal formation. Is that true? That most of you probably can't tell me the Ten Commandments in order. Probably not. Right, Renee? I told you. Yeah. So many have very little personal formation. That's why we're here, to try to change that concept, right? We've been very well-educated Catholics. Not illiterate Catholics, but literate Catholics, right? When it comes to standing up for Jesus, they resemble the frightened members of the early church. This perfecting of the grace of baptism arrives at just the right time. So confirmation perfects the grace of baptism. They must be impressed with the fact that Christ will see them safely through the temptations of teen years if they just place their trust in Him. Their soldiering for Christ will not be easy. There will be no quick martyr's death for them as a result of the effects of today's culture. It will be more like being sliced up day by day, piece by piece. Confirmation is the sacrament of soldiering for Jesus Christ. You know, my grandfather was a soldier, my father was a soldier, my brother was a soldier, my nephew's a soldier. A lot of soldiers in the family. Any of you know what boot camp is? You ever heard the expression boot camp?
Yeah.
What does boot camp mean? Yeah, would you have to be out there in the forest maybe for 3 or 4 days without any? Is it hard work? Pretty hard work.
You what?
It's real training.
Okay.
So if you don't go through that training, you're not going to be a good soldier to be able to fight the real war. So in a certain sense, we are in spiritual boot camp. Jesus Christ is our captain. The devil is our enemy, as well as the world that wants to seduce us into thinking that true happiness is here. And our flesh, it doesn't want to obey the Spirit. So we're in spiritual boot camp right now. We've got to discipline ourselves. Even some of you guys play sports, no? Remember when I was your age, I played a lot of sports. So one was, I remember wrestling when I was in eighth grade. I was wrestling, and that was a lot of fun, but it was a lot of work. And once we went to high school, I had a lot of my friends that would actually lose 10, 15, 20 pounds to go from, you know, 150 class down to 120. So they'd be able to, you know, wrestle with some of the guys who are a little bit lighter, no? Well, any of you guys are wrestling, it's tough work. Remember in eighth grade, I was in middle school, and I started to lift weights and running, and we had a wrestling contest in eighth grade, and the first guy pinned in about 5 seconds. I just knocked him over. He was kind of weakling. And the next guy I pinned in about a minute. Then the next guy I pinned in about 3 or 4 minutes. So I would, because I'd lifted weights and these other kids were not lifting weights. But parallel to me was winning another guy. And he was my best friend. So both of us ended up in the finals. And it was the most gruesome, bloody match in the history of the school. He was my best friend. But once we started to wrestle, man, no joking. I took him, I threw him on the mat, and knocked his tooth out. He threw me on the mat, and I lost about a pint of blood. No? And finally, after a brutal wrestling match, I won 6-4. And that was my last wrestling match.
No?
Yeah, we were still, we were best of friends, but once we were really competitive. Like, he wanted to win, I wanted to win. And it was, I had to stop it because I was bleeding so much and I had knocked his teeth out, no? Well, I'm saying that how hard we work to win some medal or award on a human level. But you guys are working to save your souls. So the salvation of your soul is much more important than all the bronze, silver, gold medals in the world, right? The medals are going to tarnish. You're probably going to lose them in time. But the salvation of your soul is the most important thing in the world. So to train yourself, you got to pray more, pray better. You get sick, you got to go to the doctor. You get sick spiritually, you got to go to confession. You have to have good eating habits. You have a bad eating habits, then you might get sick. You have to have good spiritual eating habits, which means eating the body of Christ, right? Yeah. Best nourishment we have. So we're talking about soldiering, being soldiers for Christ. Right, Robert? Soldier for Christ. Okay. Let's move on. Confirmation of the sacrament of soldiering for Jesus Christ. Men and women are being called to stand up and fight for the teachings of Christ, especially for purity, charity, and poverty of spirit. Enable them to see that Jesus has called them at this point in history to do a great work, to convert others to Him. Just as soldiers are trained for their work, they're being trained in the here and now in the ways of soldiering for Jesus. Like those in the Old Testament who were called to serve God, they too are anointed with the oil of confirmation. They are truly called to be the apostles of evangelization for the 21st century. They need to be reminded, you shall receive power when the Holy, Jacob? The Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm about to say that. Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me. Celebration of the Rite. In the early church, the three sacraments of initiation were all together. So what are the three sacraments of initiation? And what else? Holy Communion. Okay? Almost. Okay? In the early church, the three sacraments of initiation were all given together. Those who were joined in the church were its first members, and there was time for bishops to administer all three. As the church grew, the demands on the bishops increased, so priests were ordained to help them. The priests were only able to administer the sacraments of baptism and the Eucharist, while the bishops were required for confirmation. Because of this, the sacraments were eventually received at separate times. Since the Second Vatican Council, the Church has mandated confirmation be celebrated during the Eucharist where possible. In the event the bishop is unable to confirm those seeking the sacrament, they may delegate a priest to do it. Who can receive confirmation? Every baptized person can and should receive this sacrament, including adults, infants, and children who are in danger of death. It completes their initiation into the church. In the Eastern Church, the original custom of performing the sacraments of initiation soon after birth is still followed. In the Western Church, canon law states that those who have reached the age of reason may receive this sacrament. At the same time, however, the local bishop is given discretion. Requirements for reception. Sacraments of confirmation, Eucharist, anointing of the sick. holy orders and matrimony are called the sacraments of the living. So say, for example, next year at this time, you're about to be confirmed, but you miss Mass two times because of laziness, pure laziness. What do you have to do before you're confirmed? Got to go to confession. Otherwise, you receive that sacrament sacrilegiously. You know, so you have to make sure next time, next year at this time, that you're in the state of grace. Otherwise, the sacrament is not going to help you. It's going to hurt you. So it's the sacrament of those who are in the state of grace, sacrament of the living. Any reception of these sacraments by a recipient who knowingly receives them while in a state of mortal sin commits a sacrilege. Those who receive the sacrament should be impressed with the fact they are led to a more intimate union with Christ and a more lively familiarity with the Holy Spirit. As in the case of baptism, sponsors, you know what that means? Padrinos, okay, are expected to be practicing Catholics in good standing with the church. Say, can you have a padrino that is a Jew? How about a Mormon? How about a Jehovah's Witness? How about a Muslim? How about an atheist? Like, how about you have your uncle, you want him to be a padrino, but he's not married in the church? What do you think? He's a good guy. He's good at soccer and he likes the Angels and the Dodgers. I mean, he's a good guy, right? He's a good guy. Can he be your padrino?
No.
Why? He's giving bad example, right? How about if he's 30 but he's just baptized? That's it. No, he has to have what? The three sacraments of initiation, which are, Renee? Okay, baptism, communion, and confirmation, right? Okay, so you got a padrino that has all these, but he goes to Mass only on Ash Wednesday. He gets the ashes, and that's the way he lives out his Catholic faith. He gets his ashes once a year, and then us to luego. That's it. That be a good padrino? Terrible. What type of example is he giving? He only goes to Mass to get the ashes. You think that's his passport to heaven, huh? No, he's got to be, your padrino has to be someone that he's baptized, communion, confirmation, married in the church or single. He's got to be a practicing Catholic. Right? He's got to go to church at least every Sunday. So there's an erroneous conception that my padrino just has to be a friendly guy that's maybe a member of the family. It's not always the best choice. Most wanted to be someone that's a member of the family. It doesn't have to be. And very often what happens at the end of the year, a mother will come up and say, I can't find a padrino for my son, and I'm the one that chooses. I know a lot of really good people in the parish. So I say, well, that man, he goes to Mass every Sunday. I mean, I know every day he says his rosary, he's done the spiritual exercises, he'd be an excellent padrino. Even though your mother and you don't even know who the guy is. No? Oh yeah, the other day last year there was a woman had two sons that were confirmed and said, Father, I don't know I don't know any man who could be a good padrino. I said, well, Eric Files, he's a guy that works with me in the spiritual exercise. He's a Eucharistic minister. He prays a lot. He gives a lot of good example. And the woman said, well, can you introduce me to him? I did. So he became the padrino, godfather of two of the kids last year. And he'll see him maybe once every month or every 2 months, and maybe go out with the two kids and the mother, and they'll have a meal together, and then he'll ask them, how's their faith going? Are you praying? Are you going to Mass? How about your confession? And he'll ask something on the Catholic faith, and he's trying to do the best he can. So it doesn't always have to be a relative of the family. Sometimes it's best if it isn't, no?
And also be a saint.
You mean choose the name of a saint?
Yeah.
Yes. When I do baptism, this Saturday I got 15 baptisms, big group. Sometimes they bring these babies in here with really weird names. No? And they say weird names. No? So, you know, once you guys get married and you have kids, make sure that you give your child not a really weird name. No? But give him a good Christian name. That's what canon law and catechism and Catholic Church says, that the name has to be a name with a Christian or orientation. Like you guys, you're going to be choosing a name for confirmation. If you don't know the name, I'll help you. You can't go wrong with Jose, St. Joseph, right? I think that's my favorite, because St. Joseph is the greatest saint. You know, the husband of Mary. Who can be better than that? Maybe Thomas, St. Thomas Apostle. Or Colby, Maximilian Colby. Or Philip, St. Philip. Or maybe John Bosco, maybe you heard of him, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or John Paul II, John Paul. Or maybe you can choose someone like St. Robert Bellarmine, who's a great Jesuit priest, okay? Or maybe you can choose a modern saint, Jose Luis Sancho del Rio, that Mexican saint. That you ever see any? Maybe you see the movie For the Greater Glory by the Cristeros? Any of you saw that movie?
Yeah.
The Cristeros, on the 15-year-old boy, they cut his feet and they actually hit him with sticks and they shot him in the head, and he said, Que viva Cristo Rey, shortly before he died. He was only about 16. From Mexico, Michoacán. No? Some of your parents are from Michoacán. So why are you Michoacán? And he was only about your age, a little bit older. So choosing someone that you can maybe identify with. Or Dominic Savio. Maybe you've heard of St. Dominic Savio. John Bosco. John the Baptist. St. Peter. St. Paul. You know, one of the apostles. But you don't want to take a name where you're basically just creating a new name. Or a name from una telenovela, like a soap opera, okay? Or you go to 99 cents and you get all the letters in the alphabet, you know, those dice, and just throw out the first 12 letters that come out, that's going to be your name. I think some people maybe even do that. No, they go 99 cents and you get the alphabet and they just throw it out. Okay, that's going to be the name. Is that the way to do it, Robert? No. Now, I have to have a good Catholic name. Or someone, for example, my older brother has a really good name. Can I tell you his name?
I forgot.
Michael Joseph. I like that.
That's beautiful.
What do you think? St. Michael the Archangel and Joseph. I kind of like that. Michael Joseph. St. Michael the Archangel, the great angel. St. Joseph, the greatest saint. So it's a double name. So you got time to think about it, getting your godparent and getting a named saint, and then you have to do a saint's report next year, like a book report. And most of the students handed it late, but we try to be punctual. You guys next year get it done on time. Right on now, be a little bit more punctual, get these projects done, okay? Okay, so next. Effects of confirmation. Since each sacrament has a different purpose and power, they do not all have the same effects. A common factor in all seven sacraments is the reception of grace, both sanctifying and actual. Minister the sacrament. Confirmation ideally is administered by the local Tomas? Bishop, local bishop. Or his auxiliary bishop as a sign of unity between himself as a shepherd and as the flock. In the event the local bishop is unable to reach all those confirmed, he may delegate the power to a priest. Can any of you name the Archbishop of Los Angeles? You're yawning, huh? None of you guys know that. None of you know the name of the Pope? Any of you name of the name of the Pope? Is it John Paul II? Who's the name of the Pope, Angel? Never heard of Pope Francis? Okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay, do you who's the name of the Archbishop of LA? Jose Gomez. You guys you should know that.
Jose Gomez.
Jose Gomez. Okay. Okay, let's move on. All the baptized are sons and daughters of God. Write that in there. All the baptized are sons and daughters of God. The phrase used to describe this fact is divine filiation. All confirmands are expected to strive to act as Jesus would in every situation. The life of a committed Christian is not an easy one, nor should one expect it to be. Jesus reminded us of this fact when he said, take up your cross daily and follow me. Okay, Thérèse of Lisieux demonstrated life lived in confidence and trust in her faith. Her willingness to trust God in all things can be seen as a direct result of the strength and grace of the Holy Spirit acting within her. Confirmation gives us the fortitude. You a good speller? Fortitude. You got it? Okay, fortitude. Next. So here's some study questions. Describe the change in the members of the early church which occurred after they received the fullness of the grace of the Holy Spirit. Okay, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, write that in there, the Holy Spirit came upon the church, each member receiving gifts that strengthened both the individual and the church as a whole. The apostles and all who received the Holy Spirit became brave individuals, unafraid to stand up for the new faith. Any of you see the movie St. Paul the Apostle?
Yeah. I was forced
to. Did you like it?
Yeah.
Pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you're the only none of you saw the movie St. Paul the Apostle? You ought to try to go and see it with your parents. Okay, good. So try to see it with your parents maybe on the weekend. It's worth it, okay? How are the graces received today? When converts were won over by the apostles, they followed baptism with a laying on of the hands. They would confer the gifts of the Holy Spirit upon their new brothers and sisters. The laying on of hands continues to this day as the sacrament of confirmation. Confirmation perfects the grace of what other sacrament? Baptism. Through the action of which divine person in the Trinity? The Holy Spirit. What does confirmation give us the strength to do? With the graces of the sacrament, we're able to spread and defend the teachings of Christ and of the Church. What are the other two sacraments to which the sacrament of confirmation is linked? Why are they joined together? As a sacrament of initiation, it is connected to baptism and the Eucharist. What are the words are said during the laying on of the hands and the rite of confirmation? All-powerful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by water and the Holy Spirit, you freed your sons and daughters from sin and gave them the new life. Send your Holy Spirit upon them to be your helper and guide. Give them the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of right judgment and courage, the spirit of knowledge and reverence. Fill them with the spirit of wonder and awe in your presence. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Why is the bishop the ordinary minister of confirmation? Though the faculty may be given to a priest for extraordinary reasons, ideally one's bishop should administer the sacrament as a sign of the union between the individual members of the faithful and their particular bishop. Practical exercises. Many people disagree with certain things that the Church teaches are sinful. List three of these and explain what is wrong with them. Also come up with realistic situations in which the strength received in the sacrament of confirmation would be needed to defend the Church's teachings. Well, all right, I'll give you three. One would be some people would be the reality of hell. People don't like to hear that. Another would be same-sex union. Some people say, well, everyone has a right to love. And some also disagree with what the Church teaches on what is called contraception. 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 Those are three areas in which a lot of people disagree with the Church.
What?
Contraception. Contraception means certain means to avoid having a child once you get married, no? The condom or using birth control pills. I spent an hour talking with your parents on that about an hour ago, no? Talking about humana vitae. Okay, number two. One of the most beautiful aspects of confirmation is becoming children of God. How are we God's children? How can we become more like His children? Okay, we become God's children through baptism. Write that in there. We become God's children through baptism. How can we become more like His children? Write down, reading the Bible and put it into practice. Reading the Bible and try to put it into practice. You've got to read the Bible, but you also have to try to live it out. Okay, lastly, because of her writings on being a child of God, Saint Therese of Lisieux was made a doctor of the Church, even though she died at the age of 24. Ask your spiritual director, pastor, or teacher to recommend a good book on Saint Therese of Lisieux and divine filiation. Okay, write down this. The most famous book. Eventually you'll read it, we hope. of that great saint is called the, write it down, it's at the very bottom of the page, the autobiography. You know what that means? You ever hear the word autobiography?
Yeah.
Right. And what it means, in the title is the story of the soul. It's a spiritual classic that hopefully one day you guys will read.
I'll read it.
Good.
Story of the soul.
Okay, let's say a closing Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Okay, you have to do the attendance, sir? Yeah.